I mean, am I the only person that thinks that these Senate hearings, these congressional hearings that they're always having, are completely pointless? They don't really seem to ever get anything done. They always seem to be late. And we have them for everything. I don't really get it. To the best of my understanding, it generally seems like, and this is from a bipartisan angle, it generally seems like it's a great time for various congresspeople to grandstand and give their opinion on something. But really, a lot of the time, it looks like they're just, you know, the members of Congress are up there firing away with questions to make themselves look good. Many times, it doesn't even look like they're interested in whatever the subject matter is. So we'll talk about that. Today's April 10th, 2018, and today was the infamous Mark Zuckerberg on the Hill day. I don't know what the hell these people expected from Mark Zuckerberg on the Hill. Obviously, he's on the Hill to testify regarding the Cambridge Analytica scandal and the Facebook data breach scandal. Putting aside how I feel about Facebook as an investment or as a company, or putting aside how I feel about Mark Zuckerberg, which is for the most part indifferent, I don't understand. You know, here's what I'll say. As I was coming upstairs to do this podcast, there was something on Twitter, and somebody had put up a statement that said, wow, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't need a break. He could just keep going. He's doing so well fielding these questions. It's like, yeah, he's got an IQ of like 200, okay? And the members of Congress on both sides of the aisle that are there questioning him have a combined IQ of 200. And so, yes, this is a field day for Mark Zuckerberg, I'm sure. Even now as it's heading towards the end of the hearing, somebody was questioning him and said, you know, Mr. Zuckerberg, you made a mistake, and that's why you're spending a fabulous day here with us in Congress, you know, and he laughed, and Zuckerberg laughed. It was a real environment of accountability there, you know? And the fact of the matter is, he's not under oath. There really doesn't seem to be any type of consequences that can be easily enforced from these Senate hearings. I can't believe how many of them I've watched over the last couple of years. And they always seem to be late. They always seem to be after the fact, you know? Equifax has a major data breach. Great. I think actually, I think the government actually awarded them some other contract after that happened and before the congressional hearing. And you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. But if my memory serves me right, before the Equifax executives did the little perp walk in front of Congress, I think they won like some government contract. So you watch these Senate hearings, you watch these congressional hearings, and whether it's over some type of scandal like this, or it is, you know, somebody who's about to be appointed to some position and they want to question them, it always just seems like politicians are there serving their own agenda. And I'm not blaming Democrats, and I'm not blaming Republicans. Both parties look like they're there to just serve their agenda. You know, it feels every time I watch one of these that there's grandstanding, and many times that issues never wound up being addressed. And there's more than one example of that that I can point out. I mean, how many congressional hearings did we have after the financial crisis? Remember the Goldman Sachs congressional hearing where they wheeled out a couple of junior brokers who looked like they were 25 years old? I don't know how they got those kids up there in front of Congress, but you know, they must have promoted them to, you know, the day before the hearing. You know, congratulations, Joseph. you're the new VP of Goldman Mortgage-Backed Securities. You know, by the way, we're going to need you in front of Congress tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. Have a nice day, you know. But I remember watching those hearings and thinking, holy shit, man, the kids that are sitting here. I think there was like one older-looking executive, and there were like two young kids. I mean, they looked like they were right out of the J. Crew catalog, you know. And then there was, you know, one old guy who I think was their representative. Good evening, Congressman. My name is, you know, Joseph Schwartz. And with me, I have two members of the Ralph Lauren polo and sailing team. They will be fielding your questions. Their outfits are sponsored by Brooks Brothers and Vineyard Vines. But you remember the hearing I'm talking about. By the way, those two kids, I guarantee you, are millionaires right now, many times over. Probably in some club in Belize right now doing tequila shots at 4:46 in the afternoon while you guys are stuck listening to me joking about it. They probably have framed pictures of themselves testifying in front of Congress on their yacht. And they show people that come on the yacht, you know. But you remember that hearing. Remember the line of questioning in that hearing when they were talking about some type of security that Goldman Sachs had sold. And one of the emails said, boy, that was one shitty deal. And the senator that was questioning them kept asking them, hey, you know, what was this shitty deal, you know? It says right here, shitty deal. How come you guys weren't buying some of the shitty deal? Now, granted, if I was a member of Congress and didn't quite understand what caused the financial collapse, I would be pissed off, too, and probably screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs. But also, when you think about it, I can't imagine how many emails have been exchanged at various other companies when people are trying to make deals with other people. I mean, that's really what you're trying to do in business. I hate to say it. Nobody wants to hear it. But what you're trying to do in business is you're trying to sell a product or a service at a price that's much higher than what it costs you to produce. And if you can sell something for a very high price that costs you very little to produce, it's a great deal for you and it's a shitty deal for whoever buys it. I'm not excusing the behavior of the Nautica Equestrian team. I'm just saying, that's how business is supposed to go. Business is sometimes full of shitty deals, and the question is, how much is it supposed to be buyer beware, and how much regulation is there supposed to be, and this is for really any industry. And so in this case, a lot of these transactions were banks and investment banks buying shit from other investment banks. I think in that case, there's a real case to be made for whoever gets caught holding the bag of shit has to pay the price. I mean, to some degree, if you allow these securities to exist and you allow these derivatives to exist, it should be up to the investment bank to manage their risk prudently to a degree where they're not the ones left holding the pile of shit on their balance sheet. And if they are, then they're the one that goes under. I mean, it's that simple, right? In an ideal free market capitalist economy, that's how things would work. Now, in this case, the result of all of this garbage was that the entire global economy was going to collapse. And so the government did what they do best, which is interfere and stepped in, and, you know, prevented this big crisis. Well, now here we are again. It's 10 years later, and the stock market is at all-time highs, which gives people the appearance that the recovery has done extremely well. But we have subprime bubbles again forming in housing. We have subprime bubbles forming again in automobiles. We have trillions of dollars of student loan debt that's outstanding because the government decided they wanted to subsidize it. There was an article today in the Wall Street Journal talking about how Fannie and Freddie are looking for ways to make housing more affordable again. So the government can go out and they can subsidize as much of the stuff as they want, but at some point they're going to have to, you know, point the finger at themselves for creating a lot of these bubbles. Let's move off that and move back onto these congressional hearings. So Mark Zuckerberg, who may or may not be from planet Earth, but definitely has an IQ probably in the 200s, is sitting in front of Congress today and didn't even look like he broke a sweat. I mean, why would he? First off, he sits down in front of Congress. The very first thing that they say is, this is not under oath, but you have an obligation to tell the truth. Oh, that's nice. That makes me feel, you know, if he has an obligation to tell the truth, why not make the fucking thing under oath? How about that? How's that for a question? I mean, I hate to interject some simple-minded, common folk thinking from the idiot in Philadelphia, but either it's going to be under oath or it's not. What is this, you know, he promises to tell the truth. Well, if he doesn't, then there's no consequences. So I don't really understand. He actually, just before I got on this podcast and I was watching just a little bit of it, he just corrected a statement he had made earlier during his testimony. Earlier he said that Cambridge Analytica, he said something to the effect of he didn't know that Cambridge Analytica came on in 2015 as an advertiser. And he went back and he walked that statement back. And he said, oh, I want to make a correction. You know, they did come on in 2015 as an advertiser. And by the way, we got that wrong. And a couple members of Congress were just like, okay, you know, and then they just kept moving because they were in between a line of questioning or they were transitioning between senators that were asking questions. So, okay, you know, it's on the record, but nobody's really even listening. So we watch one congressional hearing after another. You know, Betsy DeVos is a great example. Gets up there, clearly doesn't know anything at all, doesn't have any type of qualifications to be, you know, the Secretary of Education. She was having trouble answering difficult questions, such as, what day is it today, and things like that. I think both sides of the aisle agreed that Betsy DeVos embarrassed herself during her hearing. And what's the end result? Well, she's the Secretary of Education. All right, so what was the point of the hearing? Just to, you know, drag her through the mud and inform everyone that she's an imbecile? I mean, for my money, I'd much rather just be ignorant of it, right? The woman's an idiot and she doesn't understand what she's doing. And don't drag her in front of the Senate and, you know, show the whole world. Let's just put her somewhere quietly in the back of the class and we'll just let her sit in the corner and, you know, lick the glue stick or whatever she wants to do. And when everybody asks about her, we'll just say, oh, yeah, that's our Secretary of Education over there. We don't talk to her too much, you know. This way, at least we don't have to listen to the shit. But the point is that these congressional hearings did nothing. They did nothing. And such was the case with Equifax. Such was the case with Valiant some years back when they rolled out Michael Pearson and Howard Schiller and Ackman, I think his name's Schiller. You know, they rolled the three of them out in front of Congress. And then you proceeded to have 5 or 10 Congress people, none of whom understand how the capital markets work, asking them questions and making a big scene and huffing and puffing. And then what? Well, then everybody gets to go home. And then what after that? Well, nothing. Michael Pearson is rich. There were no consequences for anything he did while he was the CEO of Valiant. And the congressional hearing went away and everybody forgot about it. You probably forgot about it till I just brought it up. And the worst is when the Fed chair goes in front of Congress. Because again, you have 5 or 10 Congress people, none of whom understand economics for the most part. There's a couple of them that do. If you really want to watch some good exchanges, go back and watch Bernanke and Ron Paul back in the day. But for the most part, you have Congress people that don't really understand the world of finance up there, and they're just accepting what they're given. Janet Yellen says inflation's good, so we need to believe inflation is good. Okay. Nobody stops and asks, why is inflation good? Huh. Nobody really gets it. Everybody's happy with the system that we have. Everybody is happy that these economists and PhDs that we crank out of these Ivy League schools all buy into this same system. And why wouldn't Congress people like it? It appears to them like we can go in and we can fix any type of problem that we're having. The solution is just more government. And we can just apply as much of that solution or as little of it as we need. Because we have a printing press and we have unlimited resources. And the government can't possibly get too big. So we have congressional hearings when the Fed chair has to answer questions. Nobody really challenges them. Many of the questions in these hearings, you can tell, are tailored for these congresspeople to make a point to their constituents or their voter base. You can tell that easily. I mean, guys like Peter Schiff have gone in front of Congress and testified. They said the housing crisis is going to happen. And they said the housing crisis is going to happen again, except this time it'll be bigger than the last time. They get ignored for the most part. You can view those congressional hearings on YouTube if you would like. But other than that, they have disappeared into the long-standing annals of history and the large, massive volume of congressional hearings that have been mostly pointless that have taken place over decades. Which brings us to the Facebook hearing today. So here's a problem that the company has already addressed. It's already corrected. The stock has gotten killed. It's been beat up in the media as much as humanly possible. It's been discussed every which way. Even the testimony was available yesterday in advance of the hearing. So the hearing was even late to itself because you could read what Zuckerberg was going to testify. I mean, you don't know the answers to the Q&A, but do you really think that this guy is going to have a problem deftly maneuvering the questions of a guy who is, you know, 71 years old and doesn't even use a computer at home? This is going to be, this is like the time that Ted Stevens tried to explain net neutrality. You guys remember when Ted Stevens tried to explain net neutrality? Okay. The late Senator Ted Stevens, about 22,000 years old at the time, God bless him and may he rest in peace, but the internet was something that just escaped him. And he took the floor of the Senate and he made the following remarks. I'm just going to read the transcript of Ted Stevens arguing against net neutrality, and this is just going to be an example of really how nothing gets done in Congress. All right, this is Ted Stevens arguing against net neutrality. Now, the internet, you know, let's go back. Internet started with a concept of local-to-local connections across the country. And you could for in Alaska, but you had to go through local connections to get there. Industry wisely provided for streaming for, in effect, a new kind of long distance. And that's what we've got. We've got a service that's immune to distance, and it's there for the consumer. But when we take and really indicate that wants to use it, this system for massive, massive commercial purposes, there's one company now you can sign up and you can get a movie delivered to your house daily by subscription by delivery service, okay? And currently it comes to your house. It gets put in the mailbox when you get home. And in your monthly, you change your order, but you pay for that, right? But this service is not going to go through the internet. And what you do is just go to a place on the internet and you order your movie. And guess what? You can order 10 of them and delivered to you and the delivery charge is free, right? 10 movies streaming across that internet. And what happens to your own personal internet? I, just the other day, got an internet was sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and I got it yesterday. Why? Because it got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. And here we have this one situation where enormous entities want to use the internet for their purposes to save money for what they're doing now. They use FedEx. They use delivery services. They use the mail. They deliver in other ways. But they want to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet. And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And if you don't understand, those tubes can get filled. And if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line and it's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material, enormous amounts of material. So that 2 minutes is Ted Stevens arguing against net neutrality. Now, aside from that just being one two-minute-long non sequitur, all it really does is confirm that Ted Stevens doesn't really understand the internet at all. But that was 2 minutes that was spent on the floor of Congress, and Ted Stevens, who has been a congressman, I guess, for 15,000 years or something like that, has certainly earned his right to, you know, say his piece in his 5 minutes or whatever he's allocated. But of course, rather than going down onto the floor and saying, you know, sir, I don't really know jack shit about the internet, I'd like to yield back my time, he had to put out this steaming pile of garbage that he pulled off of the lobbyist dung heap, is really what it sounds like. I mean, he at least should have had somebody write the fucking thing for him, because he got up there and I guess he thought to himself, Ted, you're a man of technology. You can wing it. So this is a perfect example of time wasting. And the Facebook hearing today, the Equifax hearing a couple weeks ago, the 2008 crisis hearings, all of these hearings, everybody's having a hearing, you know? Everybody, Al Franken, you sexually harassed. Let's have a hearing. Hillary Clinton emails. Why don't we have a hearing? Benghazi, we'll have a hearing. Donald Trump, Stormy Daniels, we'll have a hearing. Valiant, let's have a hearing. Hearing, 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 hearing. We're all hearing. Nobody's doing. Nobody's doing anything. These people just showing up, earning $174,000 a year, whatever the congressional salary is, and they're just up there thinking about what questions can I ask that makes it look like a gotcha moment, you know? What can I say that's going to make me look good on television? Oh, yeah. All the major news networks are carrying this. I got to get up there and I got to say something against net neutrality, despite the fact that I don't really even understand how to operate my wristwatch. And today was obviously no different. The Facebook hearings really accomplished nothing. I actually thought that Zuckerberg did a pretty good job, but like I said, regardless of what you think about Mark Zuckerberg, whether you're for Facebook or against it, he's obviously an intellectual powerhouse, especially when compared to the likes of people who describe the internet by saying it's not a big truck, it's a series of tubes. And this is the type of grasp I feel like Congress people have on the economy, too, when they start asking questions of the Fed chair, you know? Inflation, it's not a big truck, it's a series of tubes. Oh, okay. That's if you don't understand, those tubes can be filled, and if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line, it's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material. So if you guys like tonight, you want to watch Netflix, just sit back and have them shoot you something through the series of tubes that starts at Netflix and ends. It's like when you go to the bank, you know, and you want to make a deposit, but you're in the drive-thru window, and you're three windows away. You have to use those pneumatic tubes, and it's like you just deliver the movie, you open up the pneumatic tube, you put the movie in, you put your checking deposit slip in, you can't put rolled coins in there, sorry, that's dangerous, and then you put the pneumatic tube back into the pneumatic tube system, and you shoot it into the bank, at which point they shoot you back a receipt informing you that you have no money, and you forget about pneumatic tubes altogether, and you go to the bar because it's 250 Bud Lights on Tuesdays. So, what did we learn today? We learned that when a company is facing a congressional investigation, it seems like the right thing to do is to sell the initial shock of the rumor, like in the case of Equifax, like in the case of Facebook, and buy the congressional perp walk. The last couple of congressional perp walks I've seen, if I'm remembering correctly, and I think I am, have all been instances where the stock has gone up. And today, not only did Facebook go up, but Twitter went up in tandem with it. Mostly, too, I think, because Twitter sold off quite a bit at the same time that Facebook sold off, and for the same reasons. But I've discussed in past podcasts things that, you know, I like this today. You know, in order to find out whether or not Facebook has a monopoly, how are we going to do that, guys? What in our congressional toolkit can we use to find out if Facebook has a monopoly? Give me a minute here on this one. Ooh, I know what we could do. Okay, here's what we could do. While the CEO is testifying, we could ask him if he thinks that his company has a monopoly. And then, of course, upon coming up with that idea, some senator sits back and breathes in deep and says, I'm doing a good job. And then they ask Mr. Zuckerberg, do you believe you have a monopoly? No, I don't believe I have a monopoly. Great! Well, that sums it up. Tough day at the office today, honey. I had to investigate if Facebook had a monopoly. I had to ask a question, and I was informed by Mark Zuckerberg that they do not. And so, you know, pretty tough day. This is like back when they were talking about Valiant, and they were questioning Ackman on his due diligence in Valiant. And he said, you know, somebody asked him, well, what did you do as part of your due diligence? And I think at one point, Ackman said something to the effect of, well, I called Michael Pearson and I asked him, hey, Mike, you guys committing any fraud here? He said, no. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I called the guy up. I said, are you committing any fraud? He said, no. And, you know, I don't understand what the hell else I'm supposed to do. I mean, I heard it right from the horse's mouth. You ever saw the old John Candy movie, Armed and Dangerous? I think it was like 1986 it came out. Everybody's running out of this big party and hopping into their cars because there was this shooting. And one of the security guards instructs the other security guard, you know, tell that guy over there to stop. And this car is just screeching out of the parking lot at a million miles an hour. And the security guard just, hey, guys, stop. And then he turns back to the other guy. I told him to stop. He's not stopping, you know. Mike, you committing any fraud here today? Nope, no fraud here today, Bill. We're good here. Okay. Hey, Mark, you guys have a monopoly? Nope, no monopoly here. We're all good. What about this Cambridge Analytica thing? Are you sorry? And before you answer, let me remind you that you are not under oath. Oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, all right, well, we'll let him slide. Tough day for Zuckerberg on the Hill. I just tweeted out a photograph of him smiling, you know, happiest guy in the world. Somebody probably just told him his stock's up $6 today, and his net worth just increased, you know, $1.1 billion in the time while he was sitting there on the Senate floor. Hey, Mark, you want to take a break? Fuck no. Why would I want to take a break? You kidding me? This is like nothing. I haven't even broken a sweat. I had 52 people that don't understand how the internet works asking me questions about internet security. Fucking best day of my life. I feel like I'm teaching a kindergarten class. Oh, unbelievable. But as it relates to the stock, I think the one lesson you could take from today, aside from the fact that most people in the government are full of shit, is that, you know, maybe there's something to be said for buying companies after they do the perp walk. In the case of Facebook, it's a little bit easier to do than like a Valiant because the company is not super levered and they have a really nice and very strong cash flow stream. But, you know, again, what are you supposed to say when a hearing starts with the Facebook CEO saying advertising is not our main concern? Okay? Folks, advertising is what brings in their revenue. So either he is not performing his fiduciary responsibility to his shareholders by making his number one source of revenue his top concern, or he's lying to Congress. But that's okay because he's not under oath. So nobody really cares. Mark, just say whatever you want, Mark. You're not under oath. Advertising. No, we don't even look at advertising. Absolutely not. Nope. Not worrying about advertising over here, not committing any fraud, and definitely no monopoly. By the way, Senator, if you could, I would like somebody to bring me an Arnold Palmer, if that's possible. Do you have someone on the staff that could bring me a cocktail, a drink? It's iced tea, but you have to mix it with lemonade also. So what I'd like for you to do, if you can, is bring me the iced tea and the lemonade separately, and then just mix it in front of me here at the table. This is a new suit. Yes, thank you very much for asking. Tough day. Tough day for Mark Zuckerberg on the Hill today. But anyways, look, these congressional hearings have got to stop. Or they just have to stop televising them. There's nothing of any substance that comes out of them. And every time I see congresspeople or senators up there just pounding the table on whatever their agenda is, as I said in one of my previous podcasts, you know they're fronting their agenda when they have to ask some kind of weird end-around question. You know, Mr. Zuckerberg, were you aware that Cambridge Analytica was advertising with Facebook in 2015? And what do you have to say to the citizens of Lansing, Michigan, who believe that Cambridge Analytica is responsible for a fire that they had at the local bowling alley this Friday? Mr. Zuckerberg, what do you have to say to that? Oh, and by the way, I've heard they have the internet on computers now. That is a fascinating achievement. We're going to have to talk more about that, Mr. Zuckerberg. But for today, I have had just about enough. I've had just about all I can take. So those are my 2 cents on the Zuckerberg testimony today. Pointless, useless, won't get us anywhere, just like other Senate hearings that happen. A lot of grandstanding, a lot of garbage. Smart guy answering questions. Less smart people asking them. You know, in the Mark Zuckerberg versus Ted Cruz academic bowl, my money's going to ride with Mark Zuckerberg. I know Ted Cruz went to Harvard, but I don't know. He just comes off like this creepy waiter at a French restaurant that just won't stop reading you the specials. You know, he just walks up to the table. And today, sir, we have a beautiful roasted pan-seared duck. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have the flat. And the duck comes in a beautiful reduction sauce. Yeah, I know, we're going to have the pizza. And the duck is additionally accompanied by a vegetable medley, which is basically some potatoes and some broccoli and some carrots. And what we do is we put a little butter and a little olive oil, and we go ahead and pan sear them, and it's a beautiful little medley. Yeah, I know. We'd like to order now. Thank you very. And for our drink special today, we have a Chateau de Chem 72. Yeah, we'd like to order, please. Like if I can, please. About the escargot special, also the chef recommends the escargot. At some point, you just want to be like, shut the fuck up, stop talking, stop. Ted Cruz, stop talking. If I had to choose who politically I would like less, Ted Cruz or Mark Zuckerberg, it would be a very difficult decision. Thank God I don't have to make that decision. And I don't want to hear either of them right now. With that, I'm going to call it a day for today. I've had just about enough. I have some interesting guests that I'm trying to line up for the podcast coming up maybe this week, but probably more like next week or the week after. And hopefully you guys are enjoying the content thus far. Hope everybody sincerely has a lovely Tuesday evening and a good rest of the week. Until we speak again.